His army. The Scripture says the armies of heaven will follow Him. Guess who that is? Anybody else? Anybody else on the army of God? I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Okay. That's for you preschool teachers and people that have little kids. I'm going to be in the Lord's army. I'm coming with Him. And it's not that I'm going to be a great soldier at all, because I won't even really have to do anything. I'll just get to experience and see the mighty power of God. Folks, can you imagine what that's going to be like? The mighty power of God. You think, well, that day that Moses stood and he put his staff out over the Red Sea, and all of a sudden it began to split, and it walled up on each side, and there was dry ground, and the people could walk through it. And we think, man, that's one of the greatest miracles that ever happened. And it was a great miracle, because God used it to deliver His people. But I'm telling you something, folks, that will be nothing compared to the power of God that we are going to get to experience on that day. How is He going to be armed? He's going to have the best of munitions? The greatest bombs that have ever been made? No. The Scripture says He's coming with one weapon and one weapon only. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now, for people who think that this is just a book that's got a lot of stories in it, and it's really not all that apropos to us anymore. It may have been good for people a long time ago, but it really doesn't. Listen to me, folks. The Word of God is alive, and it's active. And it's like a two-edged sword, and it will cut down to the very bone and marrow of who you are, if you will allow it to do so. God's Word is alive. It's the only book, as we call them, in the world that's not just a book. It's alive. It's real. Because it is put into motion by the Spirit of God Himself. When Jesus speaks the Word of God, that's all it's going to take. There's nothing more powerful in the world than the Word of God. No atomic bomb, no nuclear bomb, nothing is as powerful as the Word of God. Just as His Word spoke everything into being, by the way, I mean, think about it. Everything that we know of came into being because of the Word of God. He spoke it into being. He said, let there be light. There was light. Let there be animals. There were animals. Let there be fish in the sea. There were fish in the sea. Everything that He created by speaking it into being. So just as He created everything by His Word, it will also be brought to an end, those that oppose Him, by the Word of God. Now look at verses 17 and 18. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, and of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. These fowls of the air will come and feast on the flesh of the enemies of God. These birds will gorge themselves on all the dead bodies. Now, isn't it interesting? We see all the time roadkill around here, right? Happens all the time. Hopefully it's not you that hits them, but probably is sometimes. But, I mean, does it take very long for the word to get out? And man, every kind of bird you can think of, magpies and eagles and everything else, they're down there eating on that roadkill. Folks, God is going to call all of the birds of the air to come and consume and gorge themselves on these dead bodies. The flesh is going to be consumed. In life, these men had been separated by rank and title. And it talks about that here. Leaders and presidents and generals and all these different people. But you know what? In death, they are all made equal. There will be no delineation. There will be no separating the classes of people. And only the poor die. And then some of maybe the mid-type people. But they're going to come and they are going to consume the flesh of all. And then in verse 19 through 21, it talks about the conquest of the king. You see, folks, all of history, all of creation has been looking forward to this day, the second coming of Jesus. And the reason is this. He is coming to become the king of this world as he deserves to be. And he will rule for 1,000 years and he will reign. Look at what it says in verse 19. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his armies. Now think about that, folks. They're still thinking that they have a chance. They're still thinking that somehow they've got all the greatest weaponry. And they've got all the people that have ammunition and guns and weapons on their side. And they're thinking, hey, this is going to be a piece of cake. Because all they're doing is coming on a white horse and white horses. And they're dressed in white linen. And what are they going to do to us? Sing us to death? What are they going to do? But it won't take long till they find out. But the beast was captured. With him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with the signs, they had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. And the two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. Now, I want to try to just draw, because for me, I have to be a little bit visual. It helps me remember and think of and understand things. I want to just draw a little picture for you. You recall Gideon? Gideon was facing the army of the Midianites that the scripture says there were so many of them, there was no way they could be numbered. Thousands and thousands and thousands of armies out in the plain, Gideon and his little bitty army up in the mountain, which, by the way, God had honed down from 30,000 to 300. And so with 300 men, God says, now you're ready for battle. And I know, I just know, if I could have talked to Gideon right before this happened, I would love to ask him, Gideon, do you feel confident about this battle? Evidently, he felt confident enough to walk by faith and do what God had said. Even though he had been and asked for a couple of signs, God, can you just give me a sign? Like, if I lay this out and you make it wet or whatever, then I'll understand and trust you. That's like us, right? We always want some kind of a guarantee. Lord, can you give me a guarantee? Money back guarantee on this one, God? God says, do what I said. Hand to each one of your men. Tell them to get a light and a jar of clay and a trumpet or shofar. And that's it. They don't need their swords. They don't need their arrows. They don't need their bows. They don't need their, you know, anything they have. They just need those things. And once they have those things, you're ready for battle. Now, anybody would look at that and say, that's impossible. And that's when God works. Because with God, all things are possible. And so they did what God said. They spread themselves out in the mountains around the encampment of the Midianites. And in the middle of the night, when God gave Gideon the go, Gideon gave them the go. And they all stood up, and they broke their jars, and they held up their lanterns, their lights, and they blew their trumpets, and they hollered for the Lord and for Gideon. And everybody that was down there, by the way, in the dark camp, woke up and looked up and saw the lights all around them, and they were afraid. And they got up with their swords swinging, and they began to fight like they'd never fought because they thought they were surrounded. And the scripture says when the sun came up the next morning, there was no one left alive. None. They were all dead. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Can you imagine if you were one of Gideon's army? All you did was hold up your jar, break it, hold up your light, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon, blow your shofar, and that's it. That's all it did. And you look down as the light begins to show, and you see every single person dead. Well, multiply that by every single person that will be alive on the earth today, on this day. And in one word from God's mouth, they will all be cut down. And we'll be standing there going, wow. Excuse me. Wow. Is God awesome or what? He's going to draw the armies together. The armies of the world will come together to face the coming king and this army. You know, man thinks he's in control and that he has the ability to wage war against King Jesus. That's almost laughable when you read that, isn't it? And yet, this world is going to be in such a state that they believe that we're going to do this. And we're going to face the enemy no matter who they are and where they're coming from. They actually think they have a chance to win. That they could stand against the living God. You know what this tells me? Is that most people don't realize how powerful God is. And I believe one of the reasons is this. We don't show them how powerful God is. For too long, people have been walking around, including myself, with a lack of faith. Oh yes, we trusted Him for our salvation. But in the deeper things of life, we struggle. Because we don't want to give up ourselves. And we don't want to walk by faith and not by sight. And we don't want to count it joy when we go through trials. Because we know that God is perfecting us when that happens. This world will be so deluded and deceived that they will only have a clue what's coming. They won't have an understanding at all about the power of God. In fact, most of this world believes God's not really real. I mean, if He was, why didn't He fix things for us? If He really cares, why didn't He let people die. And they'll use all kinds of philosophies. Let me just tell you this. If you ever talk to somebody like that, just remind them of this. Hey, God made a perfect world. We're the ones that messed it up. He made it perfect. Perfect. But because of our selfishness, we messed it all up. The Scripture says when God speaks, the Word of God speaks, when Jesus opens His mouth, the devil's men are destroyed. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they're going to be taken alive, the Scripture says, and thrown directly into the lake of fire. The two demonically inspired individuals will be taken by the power of sovereign God and cast alive into the lake of fire. And they will be there forever. And the deceived multitude are also destroyed. The Scripture says these assembled armies of the world are defeated in a single moment by the power of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. They will die at His Word, and their blood will flow to the horses' bridles. Now, I want you to, if you want to, you can turn back with me, but I just want to read you out of Revelation chapter 14, verse 20. We saw this at the end of the tribulation as a prophecy that this is exactly what would happen. They are trampled in the winepress outside the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horses' bridles for a distance of 1,600 stadia. Now, I did a little research, and I kind of got a better idea because, again, I'm a visual person. You know how far this is? Well, if you drove from Craig, Colorado to Grand Junction, it's 183 miles. 1,200 stadia is 180 miles. Blood 6 feet deep from here to Grand Junction. That's a lot of blood. And how's that going to happen? Jesus is going to speak the word. And we will come, and we will behold, and we will see the glory of God. There's one other illustration similar to this. When Jehoshaphat was facing an army that was so large they couldn't count that army. And so instead of rallying the people around and saying, okay, everybody go get all of your ammunition, all of your weapons, everything, and we're going to have to go out and fight this army. We don't know how it's going to work. And instead of doing that, you know what Jehoshaphat did? He called the people together to pray. And in the midst of that prayer meeting, he had the Word of God read out loud. And during the reading of the Word of God, people began to fall on their knees and weep and get right with God. And they began to worship God. And then Jehoshaphat said, now this is what we're going to do. We're going to gather all the singers together. And we're going to send them out in front of our army. Now, how would you have liked to have been one of those singers? What do you mean? We're going out and just singing at them? Now, if I was singing at them, it would probably run them all off. But I mean, these singers are going like, okay. But the Scripture says they go out praising God. And as soon as they begin doing that, the Scripture says that God fought for them. And He set traps against the enemy. And they were all killed. The guys with swords never even got to get engaged. It was simply the praise of the people being right with God that did an amazing thing. Now, folks, I believe that if we would get right with God and that we would live a life of praise, that He again would do battle for us, for you and for me. Now, are we all right with God? No. I'm not. There's times I blow it big time. I have to confess before God. But when I do, He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. There's a day coming, folks. It's going to be an amazing day. My mind can't really truly comprehend what it's going to be like. But it's going to be like something we've never experienced before. A day when Jesus comes again. And He's coming. He's coming soon to take His bride. He'll be coming again to this earth as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much that You've given us these words, the Word of God, so that we can see and understand and know what's coming. But not just so that we can be okay, because most of us here have trusted You already as our Savior and Lord. But Lord, the only reason then You would tell us about this through John, so that we can do something about it. We can be proactive now, because there are so many people all around us that are just living this life, but they're not really living, they're just existing. And there'll come a day when they'll not be existing any longer. And they will stand before You. And they will either hear one of two things. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful in a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Or they will hear, depart from Me, for I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. There's nothing in between. Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone who has heard this message coming straight from Your Word, that You would speak directly to their hearts right now, and they would ask themselves the question, which person would I be? The one that Jesus would speak to as a faithful servant? Or would I be the one that He says, depart from Me, for I never knew you? Lord, the answer that people need to hear is this. You demonstrated Your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He took our sins upon the cross. He paid our sin debt. And if there's anyone in the sound of my voice today who's not trusted Him by faith, and confessed Him to become their Lord and Savior, I pray that right now they would do that. That they wouldn't wait for this day to come, because it'll be everlastingly too late. They will simply say, Dear Lord Jesus, I need You. I come to You. You are mighty to save. You are the one who had no sin, but instead became all sin for me, so that I could be made right with God. Lord, I trust You today. If that's where you are, if you pray something similar to that, I know that God will not only forgive you and make you His child according to His Word, but then He would give you His Spirit to walk alongside of you and encourage you and to live inside of you and help us realize how to abide in Him. Lord, I pray that if anyone's trusted You today, they'll let other people know They'd let this body of believers know. They'd let maybe somebody they're sitting close to know. Maybe they'll call the church sometime this week and let us know they gave their heart to Christ, so that we can rejoice with them. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for Jesus, who is the Word. I thank you, God, for all that you've done for us. And I praise you, Lord, this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me share a couple of announcements this morning. If you have your handouts there, on the back it talks about...